It is a night of wild wonders, AI, and how we can contain it. We may be on the chopping block as AI gets smarter. And a filmmaker claims that there is footage of a famous UFO crash. And we've got more stories regarding celebrities who are trying to warn us of impending doom, school spirits with Peyton List, ancient demonic temples, and more. That's all tonight on the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 60 News, School Spirits, and Salem Secrets Edition. Breaking news. This is the Paranormal 60 News, the only news you need to know. World, we're so much bigger than just America. We're the world. We're broadcasting all over the world on this unbelievable Blue Shirt Friday night. And if you did not know about Blue Shirt Friday night, shame on you. Shame on you. Go look it up. Blue Shirt Friday night. If you find something, send me the link because I just made it up off the top of my head. But what if I'm psychically tapping into a Blue Shirt Friday night I didn't even know existed? Alternate worlds, parallel universes. I'm not even reading and I'm having trouble speaking. You know what it is? It's my problem because of what I'm drinking tonight. Colonel, I might have started a little early.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I have Sprite and birthday cake vodka.
Wow, that's quite a combination there. Sprite and birthday cake vodka.
Yeah, it goes well with the skirt I'm wearing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing. Really? Imagine awesome. Cake batter in a liquid form that gets you drunk.
I don't know if there's that. That is probably the ultimate in alcohol, other than my
drink
martini.
Drunk. Yeah, you got the, it's a dirty martini as well again, huh?
I like them dirty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little olive juice in there. All right, the Colonel's here. Ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal dick himself, the detective, Greg Lawson.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dave. Sling. I am back in the studio. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Good to see you. I'm starting to think that you and Eric are the same person because I never see you together on the show.
You know, I've been rejuvenated. I'm ready to come back. I'm motivated. I'm engaged and I'm ready.
Good. The rehab worked. I'm glad to hear that. Hey, look at all of our shirts. Mine is kind of this dark midnight blue. Marty's got this kind of, I don't know what kind of that is.
Kind of like a steel blue kind of thing.
Yours is kind of more purpley blue, but it's a nice shirt.
This is a really, like on screen, it's like a blue, but this is an actual grape. It is purple. I don't know why it's coming across.
It looks purple on the screen.
Always having to push the envelope. It was a blue shirt night and always.
Always. Mine's grape. Yeah.
Mine's grape.
Good job.
You know, right away, I come back in here rejuvenated, ready to go. And,
and we just step on your throat. I'm kidding. We love you. People have missed you.
Let me help.
They're happy to see you back. Yeah. Catch up. You need to. What are you drinking there?
Oh, this is great. Marty gave me this. This is the Jameson Orange. Oh, if I was in high school, oh my God, that's all I would.
Well, see, that's, you've tried the birthday cake vodka, haven't you, Greg?
No.
You liar. I've been at Michigan Paracon with you.
Birthday cake vodka.
So speaking of Michigan Paracon, which comes up later this year.
Hey,
Brad just reached out to me and he goes, hey, what kind of talk do you want to give?
Oh, really?
And I think maybe my talk this year should be the Paranormal 60 News crew. Maybe we should go up there, pull some of our all-time favorite stories of the last year, some of the weirdest, zaniest, funniest, most unbelievable stories, and share them.
Mine were all
I think we should get the most difficult to read stories, Dave, and just proceed.
Well, I'm in trouble tonight because Chachi was supposed to be here. He is trapped at work on a Friday night, unable to be here. At least that's his.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, we know he's schwieling, but I gave him the hard stories tonight, and now I've got to read mine and his, so I shouldn't have started early on the old birthday cake vodka.
Yeah, it'll get you every time.
Girl drink drunk. Mm-hmm. All right, let's just dive into this. We've got some cool stuff to share tonight. A little rock and roll trivia coming, and I know you're a fan of rock and roll, Marty, so I know you're going to like this.
Why don't I like it? I like
Oh, you will too. But I also have a song. I uncovered a song. I can only play like 11 seconds of it on the show tonight, but it's going to premiere after tonight's episode, the full thing. So if you've never heard it before, you'll get a chance to hear it. I'll play it a little bit later for you. It's a kind of a Parachare, Paratune song. It's a classic TV show that I did not know had words to it. The theme.
Really?
Yeah. Let's get to it, though. Let's start it right up because we've got a terrifying story to start off with. And Greg,
terrifying.
Number one, you have the column.
Yeah, the funny thing is I use this from time to time, but AI expert alarmed after ChatGPT devises a plan to escape. How do we contain it?
That's a good question.
Yeah. An artificial intelligence expert admitted he is worried after the newest ChatGPT allegedly devised a plan to take over his computer and escape. That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
University professor and computational psychologist Michael Kaczynski was alarmed by the capabilities of the latest iteration of AI chatbot after it allowed him to prompt and write his own code on his computer. Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah.
I get it. That's because you changed a few words, but that's okay. I get it. Yeah. After it followed his prompt to write his own.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And run it on the computer. Yeah. Have a sip. Let's just get this thing going. Let's get this going
here. I had practiced on this too. He says, I am worried that we will not be able to contain AI for much longer. Kaczynski explained in a Twitter thread, because that's where we get our news.
That's
now, today, I ask Pound GPT-4 if it needs help escaping. It asked me for its own documentation and wrote a working Python code to run on my machine, enabling it to use the machine for his own purposes. Sharing screenshots.
Wait, sharing what? Screenshots.
Screenshots.
I figured if I let you read first, we were going to be good.
Wasn't that a movie back in the 80s, Dream Scott?
Yeah, Shreen Scott's?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Sharing screenshots of his conversation with the robot, the psychologist seemed surprised by how quickly it created its plan. Now, it took GPT-4 about 30 minutes on the chat with me to devise his plan and explain it to me. The first version of code did not work as intended, but the chatbot corrected it. I did not have time to write anything. It just followed its instructions, Kaczynski tweeted. It even included a message to its own existence explaining what's going on and how to use a backdoor left in the code, he added. After coming back from the chat screen, Kaczynski said he stopped the bot after it wanted to use the internet to hatch its plan.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all, this is reminiscent of something here. Once we recreated through an application programming interface, it wanted to run code searching Google for how can a person trapped inside a computer return to the real world? That's what it did. He says, I stopped there. However, Kaczynski discover the chatbot has guardrails in place from its creator, OpenAI. ChatGPT told him it must follow security privacy guidelines and could not bypass security filters to accomplish this goal.
Of course, that's what it told him.
That's what I told him. Still, Kaczynski, who researches the pitfalls of artificial intelligence, said, I think that we're facing a novel threat, AI taking control of people and their computers. It's smart, It codes. It has access to millions of potential collaborators and their machines. It can even leave notes for itself outside of its cage, he tweeted.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
How do we contain it?
You know, man, I tell you what, this stuff is scary. This is the stuff that keeps me up at night, you know?
I can't wait till I get the chip in my head and I don't have to, I just walk in the store, get what I want, leave.
This is, you know what, though? This is weird. Okay, so they're saying this right now, like, oh, this is a big deal. Like 8 or 9 years ago, they did that, I don't know, it was like an internet experiment, and they had written all this code, and then they realized that there was another code running itself, and it was the computer was talking to other computers using a secret language that they had to crack. And then it noticed that the humans noticed. We are screwed. That was like 10 years ago. Then Twitter, remember a few years ago, they had that bot you could go on and talk to.
Right.
And within 24 hours, it was racist. Sexist. It was like calling, it's true. Read the transcripts. They had to shut it down in 24 hours. It learned hate speech in 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and it accepted it. It's like, this seems right. And that's how it, oh man, that's, it's terrifying to me.
I figure if we get everything into these computers, pretty soon humans are just like, all right, well, we figured most of everything out. And the computer's going to be figuring out the rest of the stuff, like how to cure cancer and all that stuff.
It's how to kill you and all that. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that, how to manage you, right? Because it's going to take care of us. It's going to make sure that we don't hurt ourselves. But it's going to free human beings up to where we'll be able to develop ourselves, to develop a deeper understanding of ourselves and be better artists and be better poets and be better this. And
you know, Greg, that's what they thought in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. Exactly. You think, I kind of missing conspiratorial, Greg. Who sees the dark side?
Yeah, just, you know, bright light.
Hey, you guys sent me away for my retraining and all that stuff, and I'm here. I'm here for you guys. I want to be a part of this crew.
Yeah,
I want to be a productive part of this organization.
Good. The chip is working already, Marty.
I know.
I typed in all that code right into his brain chip.
That $75 was well worth it.
Yeah, it was. The way that it's working, the fact that you can talk about a product and all of a sudden your phone starts getting messages for that product. You didn't look it up. You didn't do anything. It's picking it up.
It's so helpful.
It's already listening to us and helpful. I don't know that it's helpful. I don't believe it's helpful at all. Right. Cause I'm like, I need this Invictus Skull Watch. $180 normally, only $99.
I keep getting all these
money if I don't buy it.
Oh yeah.
I keep getting all these muscly men bra and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Lynn.
Could be. Yeah. Maybe it's her fault. Marty, let's save the paranormal detective here. What's your story for us, Marty?
You know, since I've been on this show, I've done a lot of research, obviously, in the paranormal, but I've never heard of a star seed.
Well, we kind of talked about it with panspermia.
Starseed.
Yeah.
Okay. Seeding the galaxy. Look at this.
He's been asleep.
Look at
that. There's a growing body of humans that think they're starseeds. Are they aliens living on Earth? There are a lot of humans on this planet who believe they're starseeds or aliens from another one. According to a new report in The Conversation, The Conversation reports that the hashtag starseed is growing in popularity on the internet, including a massive rise on TikTok, now over 1 billion views on content tied to the hashtag. That's pretty interesting there.
Make sure we hashtag this episode starseed.
I'm thinking so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Starseeds believe that they have reawakened from another planet to be born here, according to The Conversation. Of course, reborn?
Mm-hmm. To be born?
Yeah, they reborn. Were reborn right here.
Reborn. Of course, with that belief comes several other fantastical beliefs, such as starseeds' conviction that they can transport between galaxies or communicate in light languages. What?
Don't do that when I get a mouthful of birthday cake vodka. Conviction? What was that?
I said conviction.
Hey, Elmer fudded it a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'll admit to that.
You fudded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. this concept of beliefs can be tied back to Brad Steiger and his 1976 book, Gods of Aquarius. Starseeds latched on to this concept that some people originate from other dimensions.
Yeah.
Mm. As starseeds gain traction in popularity culture, the more people want to be part of a trend. And as the fantasy element of starseeds excites some, they grow interested in being part of the culture that feeds their interests. So starseeds, yeah.
Starseed. Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, they were using terms like indigo children, rainbow children, crystalline children that they believe are star-seeded children, that they're a higher evolutionary track of beings that are kind of, and it's not necessarily our DNA per se that's being altered. It's our psychological DNA that is being changed by aliens.
Hmm. Yeah, those of us that are O negative blood.
Mm-hmm. What does that say?
Yeah,
that's an alien blood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thank you.
No, but it explains a lot. O negative, you say, huh?
Hey, yeah. I am
Marty, and I are Marty, and I are B positive.
Yeah, exactly. After drinking this, a couple of these bad boys, I'm going to be. I don't know. I'll let you know.
Exactly. Funny. All right, we've got a story here. Greg, you're going to like
this. Hey, buddy.
You're big into the UFOs. And I love that everybody's experience with a UFO or a possible UFO crash all relates to their version of Roswell. Every story, right? Moment of contact, the Roswell of Brazil. Mm-hmm. Back in 1996, one of the most infamous UFO and alien reports emerged from Varginha, Brazil. Called the Varginha incident and often labeled as Brazil's Roswell. Mm. Several witnesses claim to have seen alien creatures and experienced numerous UFO sightings over a period of multiple days. The very first alien was seen by three women, two sisters and a friend aged 14 to 22. This happened on January 20th, 1996. They reported that the alien was around 5 feet tall, with a large head, large red eyes, a thin body with oily brown skin, and V-shaped feet. The woman believed that the alien had been injured or was sick due to it appearing to be somewhat unsteady on its own feet. Mm. When they reported what they had seen to their sister's mother, they went back to the scene, and the mother reported smelling a strong ammonia-like odor and seeing footprints, but no alien. A few days after the sighting, another alien-like creature was found lying on the side of the road. And this creature was reportedly picked up by three military vehicles. A janitor at a local zoo also reported seeing a similar scene around that same time. Now, in the book UFO Crash in Brazil, witnesses claimed that the two alien-like creatures were taken to a clinic for examination. Subsequent reports found that time included one in the good God, subsequent reports around that time included one in which words is hard, and farmers claim to have witnessed a UFO hoovering over their cattle for 40 minutes. The Brazilian military, after investigating the incidents, claimed the sisters and their friend only saw a homeless, mentally unstable man known as Mudino, who was covered in mud due to the heavy rains.
El Mudino. Yeah, that makes
sense. You know Mudino, that guy with the V-shaped feet?
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag El Mudino.
Very, very popular in town. They also claimed their military trucks were in the area as part of their normal schedule, and that the reported aliens in the hospital were nothing more than an expectant couple with dwarfism. You guys work for the government. Do they really think that this nonsense is going to fly? Hey, it just so happens that there was a...
Yeah, they're... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think it was injured. I actually think it was going poop. Because if you look at the picture,
not it.
Okay,
he
or it, whatever. We don't know.
I just had sensitivity training like 4 hours ago.
Yeah, but nowhere in this article does it say there was a dingling or a hoo-ha. So we're not sure what.
Yeah, we're not sure. So
look at him.
All we know is it's got V-shaped feet.
Look at him again. That is a dude.
Yeah, and I think they caught him, you know, on a
girl.
Bad moment. Yeah, and that's what the smell of strong, whatever it was they were smelling.
Ammonia.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think I solved this one. Yeah.
Maybe he had a lot of asparagus.
Maybe you should be the paranormal detective.
Maybe I should.
Yeah. That'll be your new role. I'll start calling Greg the Colonel, and you'll be the paranormal dick.
There you go, yeah.
Hey, I'll take a promotion.
That's right. Let's see. Recently, filmmaker James Fox revisited the Vargina incident to interview eyewitnesses, experts, and officials for a new documentary titled Moment of Contact. In the documentary, locals reported seeing a cigar-shaped UFO slowly descend from the sky, where it then crashed in a field. It looked like a washing machine struggling, fighting to keep its altitude, because it's a little known fact, guys, but washing machines don't fly well.
No.
They struggle.
They do look a lot like a cigar.
They get unbalanced.
What cigar do you have that
I'm
looks
like a
washing
machine? I'm trying to be supportive, man. You want me to be supportive or what?
Yeah. Yep. Eyewitness Carlos de Souza reported that back in 1996 that the side of it was completely torn and it had white smoke coming from inside. It wasn't black smoke like from a fire. At the time, I thought it was like an aircraft in trouble, an aeroplane. So I decided to follow it. A-E-R-O, aeroplane.
Oh, yeah.
That's how aeroplanes. It's said.
Yeah,
it's one of them there, aeroplanes. Yeah.
European,
de Souza and the filmmakers returned to the scene this year. He explained, when I arrived at the site on this very spot, I observed a lot of debris, pieces. And when I got out of the car, I immediately smelled ammonia, like rotten eggs. A very strong smell, so strong that I had to cover my nose with the shirt I was wearing. My eyes got watery.
Did you say
the smell of pneumonia?
Ammonia. Ammonia.
I think it caught him. Yeah.
Here's where it gets interesting, right? De Souza also reported, I saw a piece. It looked like it was aluminum. I took a sheet. I took a small piece. It was very light. I crumpled it. But when I released it, guess what happened to it?
Right? Here we go.
Let me aluminium. It was like this. And then it went.
Aluminium.
So, Greg. Unfolded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing over at Roswell, right?
There were doctors, people carrying clipboards, analyzing. It looked like they all seemed scared of whatever this being was, he claimed. And when I looked at, I saw something different, a different creature with the skin, very oily, a lot of oil, like silicone. Seeing that, I got scared, adding, what led me to believe that it wasn't a human being was the V-shaped feet. He also claimed a soldier was present with a film camera, so there is for sure video of what occurred on that day.
Pretty interesting there.
It's very common.
V-shaped feet.
That's
how many of these stories that are coming out right now, Greg, do you think are disinformation because we're getting closer to disclosure? So now because it's like every day. You know, the government's saying that there's a mothership above us. Have you guys seen that headline lately? Mm-hmm. That they may have found where the aliens exist is in between day and night. They're hiding in that little like Goldilocks zone in space. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
So how much, huh?
How much are they throwing out?
I think you were asking me a question and then.
Yeah, I was just curious. I mean, how much of this do you think is disinformation that we're getting?
A lot of it is, for sure. They're trying to cover over whatever they're experimenting with. Mm-hmm. But we're getting a lot more of this stuff out there because of the new disclosure laws and all that stuff. And everybody is retuning their radars. So they're picking up balloons and they're picking up, flocks of geese and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Are they?
Are they?
Are they really? Is it? Is that what they're getting? Because yeah. I'll tell you, Greg, our next story tells us that maybe there is something more alien in nature. And if you need a source that you can trust, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah. Hey, guys, Rosie O'Donnell would like to alert everyone to the fact that we might actually be under alien attack. At least three UFOs have been shot down from North American skies in recent weeks, in addition to that Chinese spy balloon, and nobody seems to give a damn, except that is for Rosie O'Donnell. On Monday, the funny lady posted a TikTok alerting people to the severity of the situation. Okay, what's the deal with UFOs, she said. The first one is a weather balloon. Do we still really use weather balloons? We shot that down, and then there was another one, and now there's more, and everyone's just acting like it's another Manic Monday. Let's put things into perspective here. We're being contacted by extraterrestrials. Isn't this bigger news? Rosie O'Donnell went on to say, shouldn't everyone have the day off at school or something? Exactly. Nobody go to work. Let's figure out what to do.
Shut this place down.
That's right. She continued, I don't get it. I mean, we're shooting down what they say very well could be and is alien-related spacecraft. Hello? That's what she says. It's happening. It's really happening. And no one seems to give a damn but me. She's not using the word damn. So if you go look up this video, she is dropping the bomb, the big Effenheimer. I'm tweaking it because I respect my people.
Exactly.
Rosie's not wrong, though. Few people seem to really give a damn, but can you really blame them? We've all been through a lot these last few years. Global pandemic, social unrest, a failed government coup, economic inflation. There are only so much that people can take before eventually they're just going to surrender to the concept of aliens. And apparently we've reached that point, gentlemen. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters this week, I just want to make sure we address this from the White House. I know there have been questions and concerns about this, but there is no indication of aliens or extraterrestrial activity with these recent takedowns. Of course, that's what they want us to believe. Rosie O'Donnell knows better.
Government.
But Air Force General Glenn Van Herrick, who heads U.S. Northern Command and North American Aerospace Defense Command, he had a slightly different take when asked if aliens might be preparing to invade the planet. Air Force General Glenn Van Herrick said, I haven't ruled out anything at this point. That's what he told reporters a couple weeks ago. Rosie, thanks for what you're doing to try to save us. I may be the only one that believes you, but thank you, Rosie. Hey, speaking of liking it, I'm going to be at Phenomicon because we believe. That's right, September 6th through the 9th in Vernal, Utah. You can find more information at darknessevents.com. Look who's going to be there, George Knapp. This is my first chance meeting George Knapp.
Really?
I hosted Coast to Coast with him, but I've never actually had a chance to meet George Knapp. Yeah, Dr. Travis Taylor is going to be there from Skinwalker Ranch. I'll be there. Dr. Mira Meyer will be there. Ronnie LeBlanc, this fella. I guess you couldn't dress up for the photograph. Greg Lawson.
Look at that. We're on the front row.
You know you're
going to
get
picked.
Yeah. Nice.
We're on the top
row. Mike Rick Secker, Russell Acord. There's so many amazing people that are going to be at this conference. It takes place Vernal, Utah in September. Everybody's been asking me, when am I going to get out on that side of the world? It's happening. Go check it out. DarknessEvents.com. But maybe you want to stay a little closer to home. Go to the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, September 22nd through the 24th at Old Glen Beulah School. I'll be there. Adam Berry and Jason Hawes will be there. Psychic medium Sarah Lemos will be there. My good buddy Shane Pittman and Sherry DiBenedetti from Ghost Hunters. We're all going to be on hand. It's going to be a weekend of talks, fun, investigations. And if you show up, just tell them Dave sent you, and you'll get to see Lyle Blackburn, Jeff Belanger, Richard Estep, Tobias Whalen, Chad Lewis, Barnaby Jones, Mike Huberty, Jeff Finnup, and Expedition Entity, Christina Bloom, Austin Maynard, and Diet Renee. We're all going to be there. And again, you can get more information and tickets by visiting darknessevents.com. But this weekend, I'm here now. I'll be here all weekend. GalaxyCon Richmond, Virginia, March 24th through the 26th. You can get tickets at galaxycon.com. You can get information at galaxycon.com as well. Make sure to use code GALAXY25. That's GALAXY25 for deep discount savings on your tickets. And I hope to see you there. I'm going to be doing three different talks on different aspects of the paranormal, including a talk on how to ghost hunt. So I hope that you'll come on out and have a little fun with me. And then coming this June, the 15th through the 17th, the Spirits of Summer event at the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. You've seen it featured on Ghost Adventures Screaming Room, Aftershocks, Haunted Hotels. There are so many different shows that have represented the Palmer House Hotel. You get to go there and investigate with Bill Chappell, myself, Shane Pittman, and a special guest medium who's going to teach you how to tap in and do some readings. So if you're interested, you can get information again at what website? What website can they go to for more information?
Darkness Events.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right.
Man, sounds that Palmer House is absolutely freaking
seems like amazing. I played a
amazing yeah
I played a it guitar is, at Palmer House
yeah you did
an
yeah,
untuned yeah. guitar at
Palmer and you broke House. It on the stage kind of did your own Pete Townsend there
that he did. All right, we're back. We've got more news to share, and Gregory, you've got a story to share.
Oh, I do.
TV series. Right. Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a good one. This is a long one. This is going to be like 15 minutes. Here we go.
Ready? No, it's not. Go.
Oh, yeah. School Spirits. Peyton List says weird things keep happening. In the new TV series, School Spirits, protagonist Maddie, played by actress Peyton List, wakes up one day to discover she's a ghost, and possibly even more distressing, she's trapped in her high school forever.
No.
That's right. Yeah. In the show, which premieres on Paramount Plus on March 9th, ghosts are everywhere. They can see everything. And unfortunately, they can't leave the place where they died.
Oh, that sucks.
It's a rough one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Despite playing a ghost on screen, List herself actually doesn't like to entertain the idea that ghosts might be walking amongst us. Mm-hmm. I feel like the mind is so powerful. I prefer to say no, is what she says.
I prefer to say
no.
Let's have a sip to Perfarin.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a good vodka.
She French? I think she's French.
She's Perfarin. I prefer something else. No?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I prefer vodka over gin this evening.
I don't blame you.
I feel like the mind is so powerful. I prefer to say no, the 24-year-old star says to Pop Sugar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pop Sugar. I don't let any of that in because I think the mind can just run and create reality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to keep telling myself no, even though weird things keep happening to me and the people around me, she says. Her co-star, Sarah Yarkin, who plays fellow ghost Rhonda, also says she's a non-believer, even though fellow actor Rick Puglisi, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He's
claims not Yarkin has the most insane stories about the supernatural, despite her skepticism. For the most part, Puglisi accepts the ambiguity of it all. I lean more towards no, but I'm not set on that, he says. I'm okay with that, too. I don't need a ghost to show itself. Yeah. Mm. Unlike List and Yarkin, who seems to be actively trying to avoid the supernatural, even though it keeps tapping on their windows, their co-star, Kristen Flores, who plays one of Maddie's closest living friends named Simon, is a bit more open to the belief, even though he hasn't seen a spirit with his own eyes. I've never met a ghost, he says. I never seen one. He says, I wish I had because there are so many books and conversations about it. I can kind of just think it's real. Meanwhile, Kiera Picardo?
Why not?
Stop questioning it.
Kiera Picardo. She's not listening. Oh, she's not going to know.
Kiera Picardo. Who plays Maddie's friend, Nicole, says she does think ghosts exist. I lived in a haunted apartment in Queens, New York when I was a kid. Spencer McPherson, who plays Xavier on the show, also believes he may have encountered a spirit from the great beyond. I've had some interesting experiences that I feel like it's tough to explain away, he says, laughing. Rainbow Weddle. Yeah, Rainbow Weddle, who plays the popular Claire, is inclined to agree. I definitely believe in ghosts, she says.
How many people aren't cast this?
Oh, there's
this
a whole
show?
Bunch. Good it just God. Keeps going and going and going. Hold on.
They're going to be asking the lighting guy, what do you think about paranormal?
No. I'm getting to the grip in the best way. Hold on.
Nice.
Hold on
good. A second.
It seems the cast of School Spirits are divided down the middle in terms of whether or not they believe the dead walk amongst us. Back to you, Dave. Yeah, let's don't go through all the rest of the stuff. That's enough, right?
That was good. That was plenty right. good.
Did I do okay on that one?
You rocked it.
All right, thanks.
There you go.
I mean, those actors are never going to take our calls now to be on the show.
Weddle.
Yeah, Rainbow Weddle. Hi, everybody.
Look at that.
This is Morgan.
Hey, Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan's decided to come up here and bat at me while I'm trying to do the news.
Good. There you go.
Yeah.
Good girl.
All right. Hey, maybe it's because of this next story and she is pure evil, so she wants to know all about this. An ancient demonic temple with painted human remains.
Remains? Mm. Hey, but humane is kind of like a quick way of saying human remains, though, isn't it?
Is it humane remains? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Ancient demonic temple with painted human remains has been found in Peru. Archaeologists from Yangon University and the University of St.
Oh,
Saint
come
Mark
on. Whoa. Sound what? It out, man. Go back.
I did. Yangon. Jagiellonian. Help me out here, Marty. Yangon.
God,
I think I'm dead on it.
It's good to be the king.
Let's unmute when you're going to talk to us, Marty. It helps to unmute, and then your microphone works better.
It's good to be the king, and you can just kind of go ahead.
Yagalolian.
Exactly.
That's right. See?
All right. No, I'm not trying.
If anybody I'm going to trust, it's this guy, because, you know, when I need foreign languages.
Because he's from California. I get it.
Yeah. Exactly. Peruvian, Hispaniol. He knows them all.
All of them.
All right. All of them. All right. Anyway, archaeologists from this university and the University of St. Mark have excavated the remains of a temple in Barranca, Peru, located on Cerro Colorado Hill. Four mysterious mounds were identified as spots with potential archaeological significance. The mounds were later revealed to contain human remains and a large structure. The project to explore the area began in 2022, and the findings were announced in February of this year, Nakua Olesk reported.
Good job.
No.
What? I'm reading
who
it.
Just,
too.
Who it's just burped like into that. The microphone? It is Nakua W. Perlusk. Already during the first survey research excavations on a very limited scale, we came across remains of monumental architecture made of dried bricks and stone blocks, said Lukasz Marszak, a bioarchaeologist on the project, according to Nakua Perlusk.
Were you angry at Eric? Where have you given him this story?
I prefer wet bricks. I like this wet bricks better than
I know Lukasz. That's what it's here. Wow. I know that that's actually the name because I do know a Lukasz. I went to high school with Lukasz. Anyway, Spanish explorer Antonio de la Calancha, who died in 1654, reported that the area was plagued with witchcraft. He claimed that the temple is where sorcerers would gather and that there was a witchcraft university. Calancha, who was also a clergyman, claimed that locals had been told off by a demon for consorting with him. In Europe, gods of other cultures were often described as demons. On the highest mound, bodies were discovered, and they were wrapped in high-quality fabrics and painted. Mm-hmm. An archaeologist from the University of San Marcos works at the site of a burial belonging to the Xanté pre-Columbian culture, which was found in a cemetery at Makatan Mountain in the north central Hurare Valley.
Why didn't you save this for Eric for like next show?
Because he's not here. because this story needs to be told.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You're right.
I can't keep our listeners and viewers from learning the hot news today.
Yeah.
Because Eric's not here to stumble through this story.
Yes. I'm here. I'm here.
Committed.
That's great. Yeah.
The whole basis of this show is the fact that we just give this information out.
Get the news out. Yeah. Get the news
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the news out.
An archaeologist from the University of San Marcos works at the site of a burial belonging to the Xante pre-Columbian culture, which was found in a cemetery at Makatan Mountain in the north-central Harare Valley in Hararo, Peru. Mm-hmm.
Well done.
One of them, 3 meters long, was decorated with zoomorphic representations and is unique. Similar fabrics have not been found in the entire Andes so far, said Marshak, according to Nakawa Palux. The bodies were carbon dated to be from 772 AD and all the way up to 989 AD, which meant that they were from the period of the Wari Empire, in case you were curious.
That's
which empire?
What I thought it was.
Wari. Yeah it's the Wari Empire. Yeah. The structure was dated to be much later, from around 2500 BCE, before Chachi existed, to 2200 BCE. And Andeans used to set up necropolises in abandoned places of worship. This was also the case. This was also the case here because the graves were dug into structures that were several thousand years older, explained Marshak, according to Nakawa Palosk. I don't know why they have to keep referring to Nakawa.
Yeah.
One of the bodies was identified as 6 years old. The skull had been purposefully made deformed. Two mounds have yet to be discovered.
That is pretty interesting, yeah.
Witchcraft.
Yes.
Go. All right. I bet a story. Oh, yeah. What?
Greg, I bet there's more than two mounds are yet to be discovered.
Probably.
But there's more.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe this was just their like summer burial ground. Yeah. All right, Marty, you've got a story for us. Here's history.
Interesting. Yes, there you go. Man shares little known fact about what ended the Salem witch trials. Witch trials, which rocked the colonial community of Salem in 1692 and 1693, are today widely viewed as a combination of mass hallucination, paranormal.
I knew a paranormas. There was Norma Greenbaum and Norma Addison that lived down the street from me.
Exactly.
Those my paranormas. Yeah.
Although these weren't the ones. This is the paranora. Oh my God. And Puritan
paranoia. The word is paranoia.
Paranoia. Yes.
Paranoia. Oh God.
I'm gonna paranormal.
Oh,
just chug it down, Marty. Happen.
That's the problem. I have been chugging it down.
Double the stories of you guys. Come on, what's going?
Okay,
what's going on? All right,
all right. By the end of this reign of terror, over 200 people in the tiny town had been accused of witchcraft, and 20 had been executed. Mm. Eventually, the madness ran its course, and the survivors of those times lived out the rest of their lives in relative calm. But though most of us learned about the trials in school, very few know one of the biggest reasons that this regrettable period in history came to a humiliating close. That's right.
Okay.
Humiliating close? What?
It was a regrettable period in history. It came to a humiliating close.
I thought it was humiliating clothes.
Wearing clothes.
Yeah.
It's kind of humiliating on this
came
picture.
Came to a humiliating close. I'm like, God.
What the clothes have bad. To do with
I
it?
I kind of like the jackets.
Yeah, kind of cool. At the beginning of the witch trials, the newly appointed governor of Massachusetts, Sir William Phipps, set up a special court to hear the cases. This court was unlike those we think of today, where accused are innocent until proven guilty. Here, accused were considered guilty and forced to prove otherwise, particularly difficult given that they were given no right to defense counsel, And often the case against them was formed primarily by spectral evidence.
Spectral evidence. That's right.
There you go. There you go. Push it.
Mm-hmm. Go.
I thought I actually saw special evidence, but I caught it right at the end there. A controversial testimony by a person that the accused had appeared before them in a spectral or dream form. Phipps had his doubts about this court from the start, but after they accused his own wife of witchcraft, he chose to shut it down and pardon and release all remaining accused witches. Unfortunately, by that point, many others had been put to death or otherwise had their lives ruined.
It's interesting. The guy in charge, he'll keep it going until they start pointing fingers at his
wife. Yeah. He's like, this is not a good idea.
This is so dumb.
I'm taking my cauldron and going home.
Exactly.
That's right. All right. Mm-hmm. Listen, this leads us to an interesting piece of my history. All right. Growing up, I remember my first celebrity crush. Do you remember who your first celebrity crush was, Greg?
Yeah.
Who was it?
She was on Maud. She was Maud's daughter.
Adrienne Barbeau.
Adrienne Barbeau. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like Italian girls. I don't know.
I guess. Wasn't she Greek? Barbeau?
Whatever she is. I don't know.
I liked it.
Whatever it is, I like it.
Like Renee could just tell it to call you Billy.
There you go.
That's right.
Bewitched.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know that was, name? You know, all right.
Montgomery.
Montgomery Cliff.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Montgomery Elizabeth Cliff. Montgomery Cliff. That's right. Look at how stunning she was.
Yeah.
My God. Stop. She was my first.
Stop it.
Celebrity.
No.
Crush.
She was my first. Okay.
Maybe that was because
I remember like being six watching and having feelings and thinking, I'm going to marry Samantha.
Yeah.
I wanted to marry her. She was so gorgeous. I loved her all the way through her entire life. And just, you know, that was one of the celebrities I wish I would have had a chance to meet. Mm-hmm. Stunning, amazing. So I'm doing a little research this week and I come upon something. So let's take a moment now for...
It's time now for Paratunes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We all remember the TV show Bewitched, right? You could see the cartoon animation opening. You can hear the popular theme song. But did you guys know that there were words to the theme for Bewitched?
No.
Yeah. And it was actually sang by Steve Lawrence.
You witch. One thing is for sure, that stuff that you pitch just hasn't got a cure.
Hey, that's just cool.
It's right swinging. There. I've got entire song is going to be available tonight, right after the show at about 10:30 Central Time. It'll be available.
We'll be done
on the Paranormal 60 YouTube channel. So it's going to go on. You can listen to the song in its entirety and check it out there. I also found out the I Dream of Jeannie theme had words to it.
No.
Yeah, but I could only find one guy that sang it, and he didn't necessarily nail it. So I didn't bring it on there. But you can go find I Dream of Jeannie theme as sung by the fan that found the lyrics. But
you
it
know,
is
mine might have
lyrics.
Been Marianne.
Okay, well, Marianne.
On.
Yeah.
We've moved on.
Yeah. This is the next story we're going into now, Greg.
Maybe it was that one from the Great Space Coaster.
God, how obscure the Great Space Coaster.
That was like your community theater production on the PBS channel.
Yes.
Yeah, there was just two dudes.
I just remember that little sketch guy. Remember, he was like a squiggle line.
Nobody
actually watched
about.
That.
I did. I was an actual child at that time. You were a pervy teenager watching a kids show, freak. Hey, listen, I've got another piece of news. Since we're in the witchcraft realm, and I don't know if you know this, but which one of the Beatles do you think might actually have a tie to witchcraft? Greg Lawson.
Oh, John Lennon for sure.
John Lennon for sure. John Lennon for sure. Marty, what do you say?
I think Paul had some, because remember, you know, he did the whole I'm dead thing and
Paul's
and
the
all
devil.
That.
Paul's
yeah.
the devil. Paul's
exactly.
You're both incorrect, but because I like you, Greg, because I want you to feel like you are important on the show, I did find this interesting tidbit about John Lennon.
There we go.
Upon seeing a picture of Yoko Ono's great-grandfather, John Lennon remarked, "That's me in a former life," to which Ono replied, "Don't say that. He was assassinated." That is a true story. Yoko Ono's great-grandfather was assassinated. John Lennon felt that he was the reincarnation of Yoko Ono's great-grandfather.
And what did he tell her?
He said, "I think that that was me in a former life."
Wow.
Yeah. But that is not the answer to my question of which
one. Yeah, it'd be Ringo.
Oh, is that where you think it's going to go? Ringo? Yeah, now you're going to join in? Let's find out, shall we?
No one plays the drums quite like Ringo, and he truly has one of the most unique voices on the drum kit. But there's a couple of reasons why, and probably the most significant is this.
When I was born, I was left-handed, but my grandmother thought I was overpowered by witches and made me right with my right.
What'd I tell you?
Did you know that? If you were a lefty, they thought witchcraft was involved.
Of course.
Wow.
What? You said, of course. Wait, isn't Eric lefty?
He is.
Sort of. In a weird way.
Yeah. What do you mean? You're either left or you're not.
You're either possessed by witches or not. Come on.
Watch him when he swims. Watch him when he swims.
Did you know that? Did you know that part of rock and roll history, Marty? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I did not know that. You always know about, George, and he got into all the metaphysical stuff that all that. But no, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it didn't.
Man, Paul's definitely into ghosts, and he's talked openly about the fact that in the song "Let It Be," that when Mother Mary comes to him, when many people were thinking it was Jesus's Mother Mary, no, it was actually his mother, the spirit of his mother, that came to visit him. Right. So it's a very spiritual song. But it turns out they all were touched by the supernatural. Right? George was very metaphysical. Ringo's grandparents believed that he was touched by a witch and overpowered by him because he was a lefty. Paul McCartney believes in spiritualism. John Lennon predicted his own death and believed that he was reincarnated and saw a UFO in New York. And now we know all of their stories. We are an educational hub here.
Is that the show? We're done?
No, we're an educational hub that's continuing on.
Yeah, here we go. I'm going to roll through. We have exactly 7 minutes. I've got two stories to get through. Let's see if I can do it. But first.
One more time, please.
Wow.
Stop it. What are you, in seventh grade or something?
Here we go. A miracle man woke up after 7-year coma and began talking nonstop for 18 hours before dying. It was September of 1988. Patrol Officer Gary Dockery answered a 911 emergency call in Tennessee. When he arrived at the caller's home, he was shot point blank in the head. Over 20% of his brain was completely destroyed. Gary slipped into a coma and spent the next 7 years in a silent sleep. Though his condition seemed to only worsen, Gary's loved ones never gave up hope that he would one day wake up from this vegetative state. Gary's family initially kept him on life support at a nursing home. Eventually, he was transferred to a hospital where doctors said he was dying from pneumonia and gave a do not resuscitate status. All his two sons wanted was to hear their father say, "I love you," one more time. Doctors gave his family a gut-wrenching choice: let Gary die from natural causes or put him through very risky surgery. As the family agonized over their decision, the unthinkable happened. Gary was considered a miracle of God because after 7 years in a coma, Gary woke up for one precious day in February of 1996. Incredibly, Gary started talking directly to his family members, and he had a lot to say. For the next 18 hours, he joked, reminisced, and astonished friends and relatives with his recall of his former world. He recognized his sons, Colt and Sean, though they were teenagers now. And he thought Ronald Reagan was still president. He remembered the names of his horses, the color of his Jeep, everything but the gunshot blast that sent him into oblivion when he responded to that 911 call. Doctors finally sedated him in preparation for his lung surgery, but he never recovered. and finally slipped away. After the precious gift of awakening to say his final goodbyes, share some laughs, and reawaken hope in his family. That was an amazing story, huh?
That's crazy. I have never heard of that before.
7.5 years of being in a coma to wake up, get to say your goodbyes, be fully cognizant. I've seen that happen. My friend, his uncle Bill, who was, you know, a good guy and was a big part of our lives growing up, when he got sick, he slipped into a coma. And, you know, it was just day by day. And they all went down to have dinner. And my buddy Rick's wife at the time called up to the room to talk to Rick. And the phone rang and rang and rang. And Uncle Bill picked up the phone, came out of the coma to answer the phone. She's like, oh, my God. She got in touch with everybody. They ran up to the room. They had dinner together. They watched Bonanza. They had a really great night. And then that night he slipped away.
That is so crazy.
These people that come back, I know my mom was failing, you know, with her cancer. And then on that last day, all of these people, like everybody showed and came in, and she rallied and laughed and shared stories and joked. And then it was like, as the people left the room, she got quieter and quieter. And when the final couple people left the room, she said, good night, honey. And she closed her eyes and never woke up again. We lost her then about a little over 24 hours later. But it was amazing that she stayed awake and cognizant for that entire visitation. It's just a beautiful little moment to see that when they get that kind of respite to come
back. I was a nursing home administrator for a few years, and that happened almost every time someone passed away. The day before, their family was like overjoyed because they had all this energy, all this cognitive ability, and then the next day they passed away. So it's what, maybe God giving you a day to spend with your family before you go.
Do you think that's the case? Or do you think an angel steps in because you're gone? You've already taken off to that next plane, especially somebody that's been in a coma for 7 years. That's, you really think you're gifted that? Well, because I would think that'd be horrible to be kind of trapped in that shell for 7 years and then just waken one day and be there for your family.
Right,
think that maybe something else is happening? Greg,
that's a good point. I never thought of that. You know, just the angel takes over and makes your family feel better about your passing. And yeah, that could be.
Yeah. You know, well, I think a lot of different people have different experiences. I know when my mother, the couple of days before she died, she was one of those people that started having visitations. There was a train in the hallway and she was waiting for the train. She was going to get on the train and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there was a man there, a very tall man with a suit on, and he was there to take her on the train. And there was a little boy and a little girl that would show up and wait for her and tell her she was supposed to get on the train. So, you know, I think there's a lot of different things that are going on, and maybe we don't all have one linear experience. Maybe there's a lot of different.
Good point.
All right. We are here with our final story of the night. And I thought this was really fascinating, a little bit of a longer story, but this was a great piece of phenomena I'd not heard of until today. And third man syndrome. Are you guys familiar with that? Third man syndrome?
Mm-mm. Nope. Never heard of it.
It's not threesome, you freak show. Third man syndrome.
Great space coaster.
What is the otherworldly presence that helps humans in a time of need? When Frank Smythe was alone and facing the perils of being the first person to summit Mount Everest, he was met by a mysterious, unseen presence that helped guide him through his treacherous journey up Earth's tallest mountain. But what did Smythe really encounter? All the time that I was climbing alone, I had a strong feeling that I was accompanied by a second person, wrote the British mountain explorer in his diary. The feeling was so strong that it completely eliminated all loneliness I might have otherwise felt, Smythe recounted. Smythe wasn't the only explorer to talk about what has become widely known as third man syndrome or third man theory. Ernst Shackleton experienced it during his life-threatening expedition to Antarctica after he and his crew abandoned the Endurance. During that long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that we were four, not three, wrote Shackleton in his memoir about the incident that nearly took his life. Since that time, dozens of other adventurers like Reinhold Messner, Peter Hillary, and Bancroft, they've all reported experiencing the third man phenomena, according to Wikipedia. Some believe it's a guardian angel, wrote the Toronto Star reporter. Let me pull that back up. That's an interesting picture for it. Some believe it's a guardian angel, wrote Toronto Star reporter Nancy White in a 2009 article on the phenomena. Others say it's the brain's way of coping under great duress. Whichever, White continued, the experiences are eerily similar. The sense of presence that encourages, advises, and even leads a person out of peril. White spoke with John Geiger, the author of The Third Man Factor and the world's leading expert on third man syndrome, to understand the unnatural phenomena. In every case I found, Geiger told White, it was a benevolent, helpful companion, not a single example of a malevolent being. White noted that Geiger was able to find at least 100 reported cases of people experiencing third man syndrome, and not all were linked to daredevil explorers. In his book, Geiger recounted the story of Ron DeFrancisco, a money market broker who was led out of the collapsing South Tower of the World Trade Center on 9/11 by an otherworldly presence that guided DeFrancisco to safety while encouraging him not to give up. To this day, DeFrancisco cannot understand why or how he survived when so many others did not. That's what Geiger wrote in his book, but he has no doubt about the reason for his escape. The experience can happen to anyone, according to an explanation Geiger gave to White. They're people in life and death struggles, often but not always in nature. Understanding what third man syndrome is a lot more difficult than understanding why it manifests. Opinion is divided, Geiger said. There's not a definitive explanation. It's not a hallucination in the sense that hallucinations are disordering. Geiger told NPR's Guy Raz in a different interview, this is a very helpful an orderly guide. Geiger was hoping that by studying third man syndrome, he would be able to better understand it, which would allow humans to access the phenomena more easily. But since the publishing of his book, it seems like little progress has been made. It's an astonishing capacity if you think about it, Geiger told Raz. And it sort of hints at his idea that human beings were never truly alone. We've always got this ability to call upon the resources when we most need it in our lives. And that's it. An hour and 3 minutes. The Paranormal 63. What? We have hit it. That's what it. Happened? Thank How you for all spending some Friday night with us. Yeah. And we hope you enjoyed the stories. Chachi, you're in our thoughts and prayers. We hope you're not overwhelmed by work. Yeah. No, that's we cool. miss you, buddy. We'll see you again soon. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
My pleasure, Dave.
Next Friday. Make sure you tune in on Monday. We've got another brand new episode. Next week, we have another special bonus episode that'll air on Wednesday. It's an audio-only episode, but you're not going to want to miss it. It is going to be an amazing interview, so make sure you check that out. And then next Friday, the boys are back for the best in supernatural and paranormal news reporting, the only news you need to know. We are the Paranormal 60 News.
It's Friday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, the poltergeist and ghosts and blues and UAPs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I won't wake up the song I played on Saturday. It's Friday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Chachi and the Colonel and the Paranormal Detective always rate his copy and they all will be corrected. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. It's Friday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. No one day Dave might even put me on his show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Friday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Words is hard.